It is time for Making Sausage, where we take a look at the messy business of politics and government. Joining us is our DFL commentator, Colleen Nardone. Colleen, you have set up a guest for us to talk to for a very special reason, right? Would you like to introduce who's joining us?
Well, we have as our guest this morning, Representative Paul Thiessen, who has, he's a former Speaker of the House, and has a very important announcement to make to us this morning.
Good morning, Senator Thiessen. Thanks for being with us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So what would you like to tell us today?
Well, thanks for having me on, and I'm really excited today. I'm announcing that I am running for governor of Minnesota and starting the campaign, seeking the DFL endorsement. And I'm really geared up to get out and continue talking with the people of Minnesota.
Well, we're excited to have you here. And I think with your background, we are not surprised that you would choose to go on to governor. But I wonder, for our listeners that don't know you as well as some of us who watch closely, would you give us a little bit about your background and tell us why now for governor?
Sure, yeah. Well, I grew up in Bloomington, Minnesota, and my parents are both public school teachers, and, you know, the family's been in the state for a long time, including my mom's family's up from the Duluth area, and I'm a lawyer in my trade. My wife, Karen, and I have three kids in high school now, one going off to college next year. And so that's kind of, you know, my background, where I'm coming from. But the reason I'm getting in the race is really, really twofold. I think there's two big challenges that are facing us as a state right now. The first is there's this huge economic change going on, which is squeezing so many families. And we see it, in the big picture, you know, with globalization and automation and these companies that are becoming increasingly dominant, these global companies. And then we see it in people's daily lives, you know, with childcare costs going up and the cost of college tuition going up and the inability to save for retirement. There's all of these forces going on. And I think right now our state government hasn't been responding as effectively to this changing economy, the changing workplace, and it hasn't been standing up for everyday Minnesotans against these big economic forces that are going on. And so that's one of the reasons I want to get in, because the work that I've done in the legislature, you know, particularly the work that we accomplished as a legislature when I was Speaker of the House, to raise the minimum wage and to move toward equal pay for equal work for women, to fight for, you know, paid time off, all of those workplace reforms, as well as huge investments in education, including the first all-day, everyday kindergarten and the first investment in early childhood education and freezing college tuitions. All of those things, I think, go to this issue of standing up for everyday Minnesotans against these big corporate forces. And I want to do more of that, because we have to do more. We have to deal with health care, and I believe we need to get to a place of Medicare for all, you know, where it's just easy and accessible and everybody has a right to get health care. And we need to get a place where post-secondary education, at least the first 2 years, are free, because that is what is needed right now to compete in today's economy. But the second thing that's a challenge, in addition to this economic squeeze, is the fact that there are that too many people look at their politics, are looking at state government and saying, I don't see that it's being responsive to me. And they feel disempowered, and they feel like they're losing control over their destiny, really their ability to control their own future and their family's future and the community's future. And I think one of the big responses to that is that we need to take state government and make it more responsive to local needs. You know, it can't just be St. Paul knows everything. It needs to be going out into the community, raising up local leaders, local institutions, local communities, people that are doing great work at the local level, and saying, let's support that, because that's the thing that's not only going to build up our communities, but I think it's going to restore people's hope in politics again. Because when you're working with your neighbors to solve a problem, you're going to work through those, you're going to get beyond those kind of partisan issues. When it gets to Washington, D.C., and sometimes when it gets to St. Paul, those partisan things start to dominate. So I really want to take our state government and make sure that it's not local communities that are responding to the state government, but the other way around, where state government is getting out into Minnesota and it is being responsive to the needs of the folks on the ground in all of our communities around the state. And so I'm really excited to kind of take this vision out to the people in Minnesota. You know, I've got a long record in the legislature of fighting for progressive values and fighting for everyday Minnesotans, and I think we need a governor that's going to do that too.
We know that as a Speaker of the House and as a leader in the party, your party in the legislature, you tried to make government more transparent and end these end of the session log jams. How would you use your role as governor to continue that?
Well, you raise a really good point. And one of the things I have been working hard on the last couple of years is to kind of throw open the doors and windows of the legislature so the public has more input and there's more sunshine coming in. And there's things we've worked on and made incremental improvements, but we need to go a lot more kind of with regard to legislative process. But I think at the end of the day, this idea that people should be able to know what's going on in their legislature, we shouldn't have the backroom deals, we shouldn't have special interests getting more access than everyday Minnesotans, can't just be done through, you know, structural procedural changes. One of the things it needs is political leaders, leaders in the state, to step up and say, even though it might be easier to do it that way at the end of the day, we should step back and take the maybe the tougher route, but make sure that our openness to the public is our top priority. And so I think as governor, what you can do is, you know, if you look at these end of session negotiations, insist that, you know, we're going to do them in public, that we're going to make sure that people know what's happening, that we're going to give people time to review the process, and that we're going to involve more legislators in the process than just the kind of leaders at the top. And so I think, you know, it's going to be using the office of the governor to insist and to set a model for saying we need our state government to be as open and transparent as possible. And it's a commitment I've made as a legislator. You know, even though as legislators we don't have to open up our calendars, we don't have to open up our emails to public review, I have done that voluntarily because I think it's important. And I think that modeling of behavior is something that the governor of the state really can do. And it gets back to this issue of whether people trust their government, whether they believe that their government is working for them. This is an important part of that, and it's something I'm very much committed to.
We are talking this morning to Representative Paul Thiessen. He's former Speaker of the House, a minority leader. He's announced today. DFLer, he's announced that he's running for governor. What does that mean that you're running for governor now? How long do you have, and what's that job like to run for it?
Oh, well, that's a good question. So, the election will be in November of 2018. You know, so we're still a year and a half away from the general election. The party's endorsing convention is about a year from now. It'll be in Rochester in the first weekend in June. And so, you know, between now and then, it's really getting out around the state and meeting and talking to Minnesotans, you know, sharing my ideas and vision for where the state's going to go, and also listening to people and hearing what their ideas for the future of our state is and what they see their challenges are and some of the solutions might be. And so that's what I'll be spending a lot of my time doing over the next year and a half, is really traveling the state. We're going to make the announcement formally today in St. Paul at 9 o'clock, and then over the next several days we're going to be hitting 20 cities all across the state and talking to people. And we want to do it in a, you know, different way. I don't want to just be going out and talking, you know, making political speeches. One of the things we want to focus on, because I think it is so important, is trying to identify those local leaders in communities that are doing some great things and try to raise their activities up, their successes up, so that other people in other parts of the state can say, hey, that's a good idea. Why don't we seize on that and start to do that? And we also want to have an ethic of leaving every community we go to a little bit better. So we're going to try to incorporate some service projects or, getting some food raised for the local food shelf as we go around to different communities. Because I really think that that idea of Minnesotans coming together to strengthen their own communities needs to be at the heart of everything we do here in these really kind of crazy political times where, you know, you look at what's happening in Washington, D.C., you look at what's happening around the world. You know, people feel insecure, but I know that if we strengthen communities, we can get over that. We can get back to the kind of Minnesota I think, you know, we've all imagined it can be.
You know, we heard a lot during the presidential election from people who were saying they were tired of politicians, they don't like politicians, they wanted to bring in outsiders who hadn't been in government. You come to us with a wealth of experience in government. Can you make a case for why Minnesota would be better served with an experienced person like yourself than with an outsider who came in with a fresh look?
Well, I think, you know, I think, well, the first, you know, answer from my perspective is kind of the craziness that we're seeing a little bit in Washington, D.C. right now. You know, there is a benefit to having people that, you know, at least understand and have the relationship so that they can work through some really complex, tough issues. You know, the things that we're going to be facing as a state, and these are going to be things we can't really probably even, you know, guess at what they're going to necessarily be over the next 4 and 8 years. But, you know, with the changing economy, with the challenges of healthcare, with all of those things, having people with, you know, experience and understanding and knowing who, you know, some of the players are is really important, because these are complex issues and we can't shy away from that fact. We can't try to oversimplify them, although sometimes, you know, that's the tendency. But I really do believe that, you know, sometimes all we've been giving to people is a politics of entertainment. And they'll take that if that's all that's offered. But I really think that people do want to be challenged with the complexity of some of these problems and get out there and really solve them. The other thing, though, and I have to say this is true, you know, I've won races and I've lost, you know, been part of losing efforts in the past. And you need to learn some of the lessons of that. And I do think one of the important lessons of this that last election is that people are feeling like they don't have any control, they don't have any say, they don't have any voice. And so one of the things that is really important to me is opening myself up to that kind of criticism, opening myself up to those new ideas, to let myself be challenged with, you know, kind of the reality of people's lives, and then showing up and being there with people. So, you know, I think that that instinct that people had to go with an outsider, there's something important there, because what it speaks to is this idea that their government and their politicians aren't being responsive to their needs, and I think that that's a real thing. On the other hand, I think that we need to strike the balance and be open to that responsiveness, but also say, also bring that kind of hard-won experience to the table so that we can actually deal with the complexity of some of these issues. So I think it's a combination.
I think that's a long but clear answer. Thank you.
Now, you mentioned a couple of the issues that you are interested in, economics and education, but are there kind of signature issues that you see yourself working towards as governor of Minnesota?
Well, I mean, I think that this transparency issue is a really important one to me. These basic bread and butter economic issues. So how do we deal with this kind of rapidly changing workplace, you know, where more and more people are, you know, maybe in part-time jobs or working, you know, what they call, you know, the freelance or the gig economy, those type of things. So things that I've been really pushing for with regard to that are, you know, paid time off, you know, and paid family leave, so that when you have a baby or when you need to take care of an older relative, that you'll have time to do that, to get away from your workplace, to have that benefit for every Minnesotan. So that's going to be a very top priority for me. Another issue that's really important to me, and I'm hearing a lot about everywhere I go in the state, is around mental health issues. I mean, this is something that affects one in every five Minnesotans. It affects every family. Yet our system isn't built up in a way to be responsive to those, to their needs, to their health care needs. So I think really bringing a focus and highlighting and fixing our mental health system so that services are available in every part of the state and to everyone that needs them is going to be something that's very important to me. Another piece that I've been working hard on is making sure that Minnesota is positioned to take advantage of kind of the changing technology and changing research and development so that we can attract some of that investment to Minnesota. On the other hand, one of the fights I led this year, you know, in Washington, D.C., they made the decision that internet companies can basically take your information without your explicit consent and your private information and then profit by that. I think that that's wrong. I think protecting Minnesotans' privacy, making sure that there is strong consent in place before anybody can take your private information and use it or sell it or distribute it is going to be is really, really important. So, you know, there's a whole suite of issues that I think that we have to get after. But at the end of the day, it really, to me, comes down to how do we stand up for everyday Minnesotans in the face of this rapidly changing economy? What ideas do we have there? And I think, you know, fixing our healthcare system and making sure that we're offering the kind of those extra post-secondary, post-high school years of education in a way that's affordable, in fact, that's free for everybody that's willing to do the work. I think that those are two ideas that really we need to push for and can really change where our state is and how our state succeeds in the future.
When you talk about higher ed, it sounds to me almost like you are trying to do for higher ed what Mark Dayton did for early education, but I think it would be wrong to not to point out that some of the reason he was able to do what he did was because of the tax that came in shortly after he was elected governor that was more or less undone by the legislature in this last session. Would you be able, as governor, to get the funding for the kinds of programs we've just talked about?
Yeah, well, I think so, and I think it's important, and there's a couple of things. I mean, we worked, I mean, when I was speaker is when those changes that the governor made with regard to early education and all the kindergarten were put into place. And, you know, the piece of that, as you raised, was that we also, you know, raised taxes on the top 2% of Minnesotans to pay for that. We also spent money to pay back, you know, the budget deficit that we had, the money that we had borrowed as a state from the schools, and built up a very strong budget reserve. The point you're making, though, I think is very important, because the budget that was just passed, and this is kind of one of the reasons that we're now in this lawsuit between the legislature and the governor, but the budget that was just passed is starting to undo not necessarily the tax increases on the richest people. Although the estate tax changes and other things that will certainly benefit the very wealthiest Minnesotans, but what it's doing is putting us on the path towards a structural budget deficit, which, you know, I dealt with my first 10 years in the legislature, and then we fixed it in 2013 and 2014, and now we're maybe heading in the other direction. But what I would say is that I think that there are if we really believe that it's important that people have access to as much education as they need to compete in today's economy, and I do think that it includes the first 2 years of post-secondary education, Minnesotans are going to figure out a way to do that. And we can fix our tax system. We can make it more efficient. Maybe we can look at, you know, ways that we can, reprioritize some of our other spending. And if it's going to take, you know, looking at, you know, asking Minnesotans to step up, to make sure that we can afford to do this, I think the benefits are going to far outweigh any costs that come with that.
That is DFLer Representative Paul Thiessen announcing today that he is running for governor. Anything we might have missed or you might want to add?
Well, no, I just want to thank you, first of all, for having me on and say, you know, how excited and energized I am to be embarking on this campaign. I think that this is going to be a really, really, really important election. There's a lot at stake with the way that our economy is so rapidly changing. You know, we haven't yet figured out as a state what that looks like, what that means for the 21st century. And I want to really be at the heart and part of that discussion of how do we make sure that, you know, the prosperity that we saw here in Minnesota in the last half of the last century can continue for the next half of the century, because I think this is, you know, such an amazing place. We have so much to offer. We have so many great people. It would be a shame to miss some of those opportunities because we're not willing to seize that future. So I'm really looking forward to getting out and talking to people. And I have to say, the more I travel around the state, the more I see local leaders and local communities doing some amazing things out there, the more excited I get for the future of Minnesota.
Thank you, Representative Thiessen, and we look forward to seeing you in our listening area as you go forward with your campaign.
I absolutely will be. Thank you.
Thanks. You've been listening to Making Sausage. You want to add to the conversation? Let us know. You can email comments@kaxe.org. Colleen, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. It's been great.
Happy days are here again. The skies above are